Well, hello and welcome. It's good to be with you today, and I hope that you are having a great day. It's a beautiful day here. We had some rain last night, which certainly helped. I'm sure not everyone got some, and we could use some more, so we'll pray for that. But it is a beautiful day, and best of all, we get to meet with our Lord. I hope that you've already heard from Him in your quiet time. Maybe just as you've gone through the day, you've seen Him work and move. You've heard His voice. You've felt His leading. But again, more than anything, we're here to meet with Him. And I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible. And thank you again for joining us. But more than anyone, I thank the Lord that He loves us. He wants us to know Him. He draws us close to Himself. He's given us this time. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day that You have given to us, the rain that You have provided. Lord, we ask that You would send more. Father, we're thankful even more, O God, for just the blessing of knowing You. Father, Your wonderful salvation. Father, to know You as our Father, to be adopted as Your children. Father, and to know that You desire to speak to us today. Father, open our minds and our hearts. Lord, open our ears to hear Your voice. Father, may we grow closer to You in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we come to God's Word today, I want this to be a time where each of us evaluates our walk, our relationship with the Lord. A time where we just evaluate where we stand with Him, how we're progressing in our walk, where we are really in our walk, that is in our relationship with God. And as we open God's Word today to Psalm 87, we find a psalm that will help us in evaluating our walk and our relationship with the Lord. Now, Psalm 87 is about Zion, the city of God, the highest point in Jerusalem, the city of David, the location of His palace. And I know as I say those things, what goes through your mind is probably, well, what's that got to do with me? And what's that got to do with my walk? Well, if you go read Hebrews chapter 12, you'll see that Zion is used as a picture, as an illustration of our relationship with the Lord. And so some of the observations that the psalmist has about Zion serve as pictures or have parallels to our walk and our relationship with the Lord, and actually serves as a type of self-examination. And as we look at this psalm, we can really break it up into three key questions, not only to understand the psalm, but again, to understand where we are in our relationship and our walk with the Lord. And the first question that we encounter as we begin reading this psalm is, and I'm asking this for each of us, but what is your foundation? That is, what is your life truly built upon? Look what we see in verses 1 through 3. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the other dwelling places of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God, Selah. God was, in fact, the real foundation, the spiritual foundation, the real source of strength and security for Zion. He chose her. He planned her future. He will fulfill that plan. God was and is, in fact, Zion's foundation. But again, think about the spiritual parallel there, the picture, the illustration. What is your foundation? You know, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, "For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Have you built your life upon Jesus Christ? First of all, in salvation. Jesus said in John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Have you built your eternal life upon Jesus Christ? Because that is the only sure salvation. That is the only sure foundation. It is only but trusting that He died for you, rose again for you, recognizing Him and trusting Him as your Savior and Lord, that you can, in fact, have salvation. But believer, what about your ongoing experience? Again, what about the way in which you live your life day by day? You think about what our Lord said as He concluded the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." You think about that. The fact that we need to build our life upon the truth of the words of our Lord. And so again, I ask you, what is your life built upon? Are you truly building it upon Jesus Christ, first of all in salvation, but in everyday life? The way you make decisions, the values that you live out, what you think is worthwhile, what you think is worthless, are you in fact building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ? What is your foundation? You begin to answer that question, you begin to truly see where you walk and you stand in your evaluation, your walk, and your relationship with the Lord. But then look at the second question we come across. Where is your citizenship? You think about what we see in verses 4 through 6. "I shall mention Rahab and Babylon among those who know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre and eat with Ethiopia. This one was born there. But of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her, and the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord will count when he registers the people. This one was born there, Salem." This is prophetic. When Christ establishes his kingdom and the world will come to Zion to worship, many nations will in fact be converted. They'll be counted as citizens. Where is your citizenship? Philippians 3:20, Paul made it very clear, "Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And so again, thinking about salvation, are you truly a citizen of heaven? Is your name written on the census, so to speak, of heaven? You think about what we read in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life," that's the census of heaven, if you want to call it that, "he was thrown into the lake of fire." Is your name written in that book? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Again, we come back to that point. He must be the foundation, and only through him do you have genuine citizenship in heaven. Only through him can you truly be reconciled unto the Father, adopted as his children, be part of his eternal family, and have a home with him for all of eternity. But if you are a believer, if you are a citizen of heaven, are you living like it? You think about what we see in Hebrews chapter 11 as it describes the life of Abraham. You think of what we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. "By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God." You think about Abraham, the call and the promise that God had given to him. God called him out. God promised him all that land. And yet amazingly, the whole time that Abraham lived there, he lived there as a sojourner. Abraham, in my own devotion times, I'm back in the book of Genesis. I'm at the point dealing with Abraham, and in chapters of especially 13 and 14, and as you see the difference between Abraham and Lot. Lot, the New Testament tells us, was a believer, and yet you think of the difference in the way in which they lived. Lot, even though again the New Testament tells us he was a believer, Lot, when he was given the opportunity, chose to dwell in the cities of the valley, or the cities of the plain, is the way it's written there in the King James. He very much wanted to be part of the culture, the system. Ultimately, he moved as far as Sodom. You keep reading the book of Genesis and you see the tremendous price he paid for that decision. And again, the New Testament tells us how his soul was troubled the whole time he was there. And then you think of him losing his wife and in a very real sense, losing his daughters. And yet then you think of Abraham, the one that God had promised the land to, and yet Abraham was separate and distinct from the ways of the land of Canaan, from the system, from the world of Canaan. Why? even though the land was his citizenship, he had a very different citizenship. He wasn't part of it. You and I, yes, we live in this world, but we're not to be part of it. And if we choose to live as Lot did and try to be part of it, we will pay a very heartbreakingly high price. We need to live as citizens of heaven. You know, the old hymn, or I guess gospel song, I'm not sure which you would classify it, probably more the latter than the former, "This world is not my home." Is that our attitude? Do we recognize that our citizenship is in heaven? We're not part of this world system, and so therefore we are in fact not to live like it. Do you live as someone who belongs up there that not here? I remember an older gentleman, an older saint a few years ago, who passed away, and in the months leading up to his passing, it was obvious he was in decline. But he more than once made the observation, "I have nothing here. This world has nothing to offer me. My home is there." And he wasn't a sour individual. He was always very lighthearted and jovial and enjoyed being around him. It was a lot of fun. But his citizenship, his real home, was there with our Lord, not here. Sure, he could laugh, he could had joy, but his citizenship was there and he lived like it. You know, this is the time of year where you come to high school and college graduations, and I remember being invited to a high school graduation several years ago, and during the course of the graduation ceremony, they showed slides of the graduating seniors through their time in high school. And the particular student that I'd been invited there to watch that person graduate, you know, they were very much a leader in their class academically, athletically, obviously in various clubs and functions. Obvious that person had the respect of their peers, their classmates, the administration. But I found it interesting the pictures where this student was in and the pictures that they were not in. Official school functions, they were there. But there were other pictures that were taken that obviously were not morally wrong, but you could tell the settings that where those pictures were taken could very easily have headed that direction. That student was never seen there. It was obvious their testimony, the difference in the way in which they lived. And again, this is not some sour outcast individual. This person is now graduated, gone on, has a very lucrative career, nothing of that. Not like the shy introvert that I always was and still am. Very outgoing, very secure individual, but it's obvious that they lived by a different set of values. Their citizenship was in heaven, and it was obvious. Abraham's citizenship was in heaven. Where is your citizenship? Is your name again written in heaven? And are you living like it? And we need to ask ourselves as we think about our walk with the Lord, where is our citizenship? You know, our Lord prayed in John chapter 17, verse 16, when he was praying for us, he made the observation that they, talking about not just the disciples then, but all believers in the years since, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Child of God, our citizenship is not here. Now, yes, God is with us. He blesses us. He leads us. He guides us. We get to experience Him. There's a joy, and we'll talk about that in a moment, of knowing Him. This world is not our home. Our citizenship is not here. Its values are not ours. Like Abraham, we live as strangers in a foreign land, even though we are the recipients of God's promises. Where is your citizenship? Look at the final question that we ask. What are your joys? What gives you joy? Look at verse 7. Then those who sing as well as those who play the flute shall say, "All my springs of joy are in you." Springs there, they're the source, if you will, the source of joy, the sources of joy. What is the source of joy for you? You know, only God can truly give you real, lasting, genuine joy. One of my favorite books of the Bible is the book of Philippians, and joy permeates that book from beginning to end. And what is amazing about that is it was written by the Apostle Paul while he's in prison. That's why it's a prison epistle. while he was under arrest for preaching the gospel, to a church, the church there at Philippi, that quite frankly was a poor church, if you will, under pressure, and yet both from the writer, Paul, and the recipient, the church at Philippi, there is joy. In Christ, there is in fact joy. Where are you looking for joy? It's found only in Christ. Going back to what we just talked about, our citizenship, the things of this world will never bring you happiness and joy. Again, thinking about my morning devotions, Lot probably felt that the things of this world would bring joy and fulfillment and contentment and everything he was looking for. It didn't. Only Christ can do that. What is your joy? As we think about our walk with the Lord, we need to examine it. It's been said, and I'm not sure who originally said it. Some people say it's Socrates. Some say it was actually even before him. But someone once made the observation, been repeated several times, that an unexamined life is not worth living. You know, as believers, we take that twist. We obviously tweak that to it really reflects a Christian frame of mind. An unexamined Christian life never reaches the full potential and experience that Christ wants us to have. Examine your life. Again, are you a believer? Are you living like it? Because only when you build your life upon Him, only when you live as a citizen of heaven, only when you look to Him for your joy, will your life have the fullness and richness He wants it to have. And only then will your walk with the Lord be as close and intimate as He wants it to be. Examine your life. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Father, again, we thank You for this day. O Lord God, Your desire for us to know You, to walk with You. Father, may we examine our lives. Lord, show us where our citizenship really is. Father, and I pray for everyone watching that it is in heaven, if not, that You'll bring them to that point now and then, oh God, to live like it. Father, may we build our lives upon You. And may we look to You, oh God, for our joy. Father, thank You. Be with us through this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I do hope that you have a great day, that you experience the Lord, and as a result of examining your walk and your relationship with Him, that you grow even closer, that you know His blessings even more, and that you have a great day in Him.